Exodus chapter 30. Open your Bibles there. Exodus 30. Psalm 119, we'll make our way there. And hopefully John 15 as well. Exodus 30, Psalm 119, John 15. You guys okay with the lights off? Good? Yes? No? Yeah, you're lucky you're sitting under a light. That's good. I have a question for you. Where do you go to be refreshed? Where do you go to get recharged? Reinvigorated? You know, we live in a world that kind of beats us up and wears us down. And it's very important for us to take those times to get recharged and refreshed and reinvigorated. You know, for some, maybe you've thought, you know, a trip to the beach really just does it for me. You know, laying on a lounge chair, looking out at the ocean or the lake. It's a nice thought. Walk through the park, you know, taking a look at the trees, listen to the birds and the animals, not the mosquitoes. Or maybe it's just sitting in a rocking chair, just enjoying the day. Again, just time to refresh, time to recharge, time to refocus. Does anybody get any of those kinds of times? None. Sad, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it seems like in my mind, when I remember the old days, we used to do that a lot. You know, a summer day used to last forever. The movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I thought that was like a four-hour movie, you know? When I watched it again when I was older, I'm like, it's over already? I mean, it's like, it's amazing how things seem to change, but do they really? Maybe our parents, when we were young, they struggled with the same things that we're struggling with, trying to find time to refresh and to get renewed. And while taking time off, I think, is very important, time off from our normal routine to kind of just kick back, vacation's very important. What I'm really talking about here tonight is, where do you go to be strengthened spiritually? That's really what I'm talking about. And maybe I deceived you when I threw out some of those options, but where do you go to be strengthened spiritually? Where do you go to get direction for your life? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? What resources do you tap into to get direction, to get, you know, insight into your tomorrows? Or where do you go to help try to understand what's happened to you in your past? Where do you go? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's one place, listen, one place for each and every one of us in this room that we can go and receive all of those things. Receive refreshment, receive recharge, that recharge that we need. That rechargement, is that a word? No, probably not. That reinvigorated, just back in tune. It's just one place that we go that will help us all be better followers of Jesus Christ. And it's talking here in Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 21, talking about the laver, the bronze laver, the one place that in the tabernacle you were to go to get refreshed. There's some unique things about the laver that we're going to look at. But what we're going to see is the laver is really a picture of the Word of God, of the Word of God. And that's some place each and every one of us can go and should go to get direction, to get insight, and to get strength, right? And for some of us, we've studied, we've read the Bible maybe through several times. Maybe you do that, you read the Bible it once in a year, and you do that over and over, and you're getting the Word into you to the point where, honestly, not that we stop reading it, but it's in us now. Okay, the Word is in us so that when those things happen in our lives, we can go back and go, oh, the Word of God says this. Or this is happening in my life, but the Word of God is saying that. Or I'm really frustrated tonight, but the Word of God says I should not be frustrated. That's what the Word tells. And so we know the Word, we understand the Word, and that's where we get our strength. Because listen, we're not going to get it from anywhere else in the world. You know, you sit on the beach all you want. I mean, you're going to, yeah, you might get, you know, catch your breath back, but I mean, not necessarily you're going to grow. Not necessarily are you going to be recharged. You're just going to be refreshed. You're going to be relaxed, you know, but you're just going to jump back into it. And I don't know about you, sometimes going on vacation, whew, I do more on vacation than I do when I'm working. It's like, I got to get back to the office from vacation. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be going and looking at just one more item inside the tabernacle. It's described very simplistically. It's also described very vaguely. We'll see that. But the one thing that it is most important to us, I think, for most of us, most important spiritually. So look at verse 17 here in Exodus chapter 30. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze, for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it, when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die.'" Verse 21, "So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and to his descendants throughout their generations." So give me your attention. The next item that we're looking at is this bronze laver. And I don't know if you catch it or not, but if when we read this, and if you've been with us through Exodus, every other piece of furniture in the tabernacle is described in its length, in its depth, in its height, detailed. We don't see that anywhere in here, do we? We just say, you know what? A bronze laver and put water in it. Was it little? Was it big? You know, was it a swimming pool? I mean, honestly, I think of that in my mind. If this laver is going to represent the Word of God, man, I want to be bathing in it, right? I want to be in the Word of God as much as possible. So that's what we're looking at tonight, this bronze laver. And some have suggested that this bronze laver speaks of being born again, of regeneration or rebirth. But I don't agree with that. I believe the altar is what speaks of being born again, of rebirth, because that is the place we go to have our sins forgiven. That's where we go to repent, and that's where we get to that regeneration experience, is at the bronze altar. I believe here at the bronze laver, we find regeneration. We find rest. We find that place of encouragement from God, a place of refreshment, because we see water in here. And where are we to be refreshed in our lives? I mean, certainly if you're called into ministry or if you're called to be a servant of God, you're going to be called to a specific task within the body of Christ. Everybody has a role and a responsibility. And where should we go when it comes to getting this refreshment from God? Because listen, when you serve God, when you serve in the house of the Lord, in any capacity, there's an opportunity for burnout. There's an opportunity for getting worn down and tired of doing the same thing over and over. It is this pastor's conviction that if you're doing what God calls you to do, you'll never wear out. You'll never burn out. The only time you burn out is when you're doing it more in your strength than you're doing it in God's strength. So the place that we go to be refreshed in ministry or even in our lives is right here in the Word of God. Because I don't care what chip you have on your shoulder. I don't care what attitude you have. Once you begin to read the Word of God, it starts to chip away those rough edges. It starts to work on our hearts. It kind of just puts things in perspective, certainly when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and the things that he experienced, the things that he went through. And you know, people spitting on him and accusing him and pointing fingers at him and all those negative, yet he did not say a word. And when I read that, it's like, God, I need to be more like Jesus. That's what the Word of God does for me. See, this brazen laver was filled with water. Water speaks of the Word of God. That living water, if you will. A place of renewal, a place of restoration, and a place of revival. There's times in my past where I can see where those times was I was in my deepest, darkest moments. It was the Word of God that carried me out. It's the Word of God that began to build up my faith again, to be strong, to deal with the situations in my life. And sure, I could sit and talk to a friend. Sure, we could pray, and I'm not minimizing prayer in any capacity whatsoever. But I'm saying when it was the Word of God and Jesus Christ himself speaking to my heart, he's the one that gave me strength to carry through. Again, there's no dimensions given for this. Of every other thing, there's dimensions. Even the coverings of the tabernacle. Remember when we went through that? I mean, everything had specific dimensions. Why is that? I mean, could it be that there is no limit to the Word of God? There's no limits. There's no boundaries to the Word of God. It's limitless. It's beyond measure. And it's inexhaustible. I think I said it not too long ago. The minute we can totally figure out God, or when we've thought we've figured out everything about the Bible, now we're in trouble. I love the fact that the Lord that we serve, the Word that we have, is alive. It breathes differently today than it did in my life in the past and in your life in the past. The same scripture that brought you encouragement at one point maybe is bringing you conviction at another point in your life. Depends on where you're at. That's how powerful the Word of God is. So it's limitless. So in a sense, God's saying, listen, I'm not going to tell you the size of it. Because you can't put a size to it. You can't get to the end of it. This isn't a book you read and it says the end and you stop. No, you start right over again and you keep reading it. There's many different advantages to the Word of God, isn't there? When you truly think about it, it brings encouragement. It brings support. It brings strength. It does bring conviction. Depending on where we're at, depending on the place we're at, it brings salvation for those who don't know God. It brings those of us who kind of deal with pride issues back to a place of humility. Many different facets of the Word of God. And that's what I want us to look at briefly. And I know it's a long psalm. Psalm 119 is the largest book in the Bible. But let's turn there. And I want to look at a few things, a few of these psalms here in Psalm 119, because not only is it the largest book in the Bible, the one single issue that Psalm 119 deals with are the benefits and the blessings of being in the Word of God. And this is not a complete list by any stretch. If you'd read Psalm 119 for homework, that would be good, because that's countless scriptures in here speaking about God's Word. But the very first verse, Psalm 119, verse 1, says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the ways, or in the law of the Lord. So we see right out of the bat, off the bat, right in the beginning, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the Word. Blessed are those. That word blessed, you've probably heard this, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy are those who walk upright before God, who maintain His Word. The person who obeys God's Word is blessed. When you don't obey God's Word, man, there's a lot of pain and suffering. There's a lot of conviction. There's a lot of hurt there. Because people who hear the Word of God all the time, just hearing it, they hear the Word, they maybe they even read it, but they don't let it do the work that it needs to do. The problem is they do not do what the Word specifically tells them to do. And honestly, you're happy when you read a scripture and you go, hey, I'm doing that. Right? I mean, oh, yes, Lord, I am doing that. I'm so glad that's something that you want me to do because I am doing that. But then the very next verse probably says something that you're not doing. And you're not so happy, are you? But no, blessed are the ones that read the Word and want to apply it to their lives. James says this in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. You don't have to turn there. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't just hear the Word. Hear the Word and then do the Word. And those of us who have been doing that, those of us who have walked with the Lord for a season, have heard the Word, have been convicted by the Word, and now we live out the Word. And in order for it to be a practice, you just have to keep doing it, right? You got to keep trying. Be a doer of what God's Word says. Are you here tonight? Are you happy about being a Christian? Are you happy about the knowledge that you have of the Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ? And are you happy when the Word of God, listen, cuts to your heart? Are you happy when there's something in my life that I need to line up to? That's what the Word does, isn't it? And it brings blessing. Jump down to verse 7. Look what this says. This verse says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Here we see the person who is in God's word will be someone who worships. Someone who worships the Lord. Not because, listen, not because they feel that they're forced to worship, but because they feel like they get to worship God. There's a total difference, isn't there? You know, our times of worship, certainly musically, are times to prepare our hearts to receive the word. And sometimes those times of worship, they've got to be the lyrics on the screen, got to really cut. They really got to penetrate. But sometimes you just go, oh, Lord, it's so good to worship you. Because I feel like I'm in the right place. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's doing it all right. But we feel good because we're obeying God's word. We're doing the things he wants us to do. Excuse me. Even though it's hard. Even though it's not easy. Even though we have friends or people in our lives are saying, this is how you need to respond to that situation. Well, that's going to be difficult. Well, yeah. Sometimes in life we have to do the difficult things because it's the right thing to do. And that's what this psalm says. You know what? We get to worship God because we're being obedient to his word. And I think that you come to the point when you're being obedient that it's easier to worship the Lord. You ever find it hard to worship God because you're not in right relationship with him? You know you've done something that's not pleasing to him. It's a little bit harder to worship, isn't it? It's hard to raise your hand, praise you, Jesus, when you're going, I know you're not happy with me right now. Because he sees the sin in our lives. He sees the pride in our hearts. He sees the things that we put before him. But the true follower of Christ says, God, you're first. You're a priority. But notice it says here, in order to worship God truly, that we have to have an uprightness in our hearts. An uprightness in our hearts. This is a place, or this is a peace that comes when you're right with God. That peace that surpasses understanding. Does it mean you're perfect? No. But it means your heart is in a place that says, God, I'm trying. God, I'm really trying to do what's right. Because some people in this room, your attitudes here tonight are being dictated by what other people have done. Your hurts tonight are here because somebody did something to you. And so you're not feeling it. You know? Gosh. If that's the way it is, you got to get your eyes off of people and the things that people are doing to you and get your eyes on the Lord who loves you. That's the being in uprightness of heart, saying, God, I want to please you and I want not to hold a grudge towards anybody else. Because in that way, when we're in right relationship with God, it allows us to worship freely and without those burdens. So that's another aspect. Look at verse 9 here as well, two verses later. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So we see the word has a cleansing ability. It has ability to wash us and cleanse our hearts. The person who takes heed to the word is clean. The word cleanses us as we obey and follow the word of God. Keep your place in Psalm 119. Flip over now to John 15. I want to just show you something here. John 15. Right in the beginning. Jesus specifically says this to his disciples about remaining in him, abiding in him, and the word that he's spoken to them, and that cleansing ability of Christ's word as well as the word. Verse 1 in chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, this is the one. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And you probably know that word abide means to remain, to stay in. To settle into. So it means remaining in Christ is remaining in his word so that we can produce fruit in our lives. It is the word of God that cleanses us and washes us and restores us and rejuvenates us and gives us the strength that we need. as we listen to the words of God, so that we can bear fruit, so that our lives can be fruitful, so that we can see things happening not only in our own hearts, but in the hearts of our loved ones, as we're being those witnesses to them. So remain in the Word of God. In order for the Word to have a lasting cleansing effect, you got to stay in it. And I know how hard it is sometimes, right? You know, reading the Word, you just don't understand it. I read it, but I'm not getting any. And whenever I hear somebody say to me, I'm reading, but I'm not getting anything, I always tell them, just keep reading. Just keep being faithful and asking God to reveal to you the truths of His Word. He will. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I would read the Bible and it would sound like gibberish to me. I just didn't grasp it. I just didn't understand it. Only later did I find out that these things are spiritually discerned, that the Word of God must be enlightened by the Spirit of God. And it wasn't until I continued to read and continued to read that all of a sudden, it's almost like the scales came off the eyes, if you will. And I began to read. I go, wait a minute, I'm starting to understand this now. And the more I read, the more I understood. The more I read, the more I understood. Until we get to that place where, okay, I've kind of got a greater picture of the fullness of God. You know? Especially as a new believer. Man, you avoid the Old Testament like crazy, don't you? But you know what? The Old Testament is so rich. The Old Testament, I actually sat down with a guy years ago at our church. He visited our church. He was there for a few weeks. I was going through the book of Joshua, and he took me to coffee. He says, when are you going to stop teaching in the Old Testament? I said, well, yeah, maybe when Joshua's over? He's like, I only stick with the red letters. That's what he said. I only like to stick and read the red letters. I go, well, that's great. And I encourage you to stay reading the red letters, because the red letters are going to point you to the black letters. It's like some people just want to stay in a place where they're comfortable. And I'm going to be real with you. I don't like to be comfortable. And I think when Christians are comfortable, they're dangerous. Christians need to be stretched all the time. We always need to be challenged by the Spirit, by the Word. And so it's the Word that's going to lead us to those places where you read something, and I don't know about you, but sometimes you read an area of Scripture. We do our staff, in our staff meetings on Tuesday, we usually read the Word, and sometimes we're reading it, it's like, I never noticed that. You know, we take the time to really talk about it, and you don't always notice things in the Word. That's, to me, so cool when God reveals something in His Word. And it's just staying in it, remaining in it. Go back to Psalm 119. Now look at verse 24. I'm just going to look at a couple more of these. But you can see the different aspects, right, of the qualities of the Word of God, of the abilities of the Word of God. Verse 24 says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So there's a sense of joy that should come out of the Word of God. Boy, I really hope that every day you don't open up your Bible and go, I got to do my reading. Like it's got to be something you got to check off your list of things to do. I mean, I know we got a lot of things to do, but don't ever avoid reading the Word of God. And it should be a desire, a delight. It should be a joy in our hearts. Have you found the Word of God to be a delight to you? Is this your source of life? Is this really something you grasp and say, God, give me something for today? Give me what I need for today in your word. That's a totally different attitude than what's on my list of readings today. I mean, don't just read it and go through it and move on. No, let the word speak to you. Let it be a delight, but also notice it says it's a counselor. A lot of people go to counseling. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. As long as it's biblical, I think it's a great thing. But the word of God says it's a counselor. It's someone that can give us direction and instruction and help us in our times of need. And I know some of you here tonight. I know some of your history. I know some of your struggles. I know some of the things you're seeking God for answers for. I've prayed with some of you. This is where the source is. This is the counselor that we need, guys. This is what's going to give instruction and direction to us. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. And guess what the Bible does? It speaks the truth in love. It does speak the truth in love. The Bible does. It doesn't do it condescendingly. It doesn't do it in any way to hurt our feelings. It's just to hurt our sin is what it needs to do. And so let the word be that counselor. Let that word be a delight to you as you continue to abide in him. Now we're going to go all the way to verse 50. Just give me two more. So I think some people need this tonight. Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." The word of God is comforting. It's comforting. It gives us life. I like to look at this as giving us a life that has meaning. A life that has meaning. This is what the word does. And then verse 105, the last one. 105 that we're going to look at tonight. "Your word," and many of you know this, "your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Wow. As I was studying this today, I always look at the word of God as, hey, it lights where I am, it lights where I'm going. But as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what? The word of God actually lights where I am, whether I'm where I'm supposed to be or I'm not supposed to be. You notice that? I never looked at it that way. I always thought, oh, the word's going to show you where you should be. Lamp to my feet, where I'm standing. But doesn't the word also reveal to us when we're standing in the wrong place? Right? The word's like, wait a minute, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not even supposed to be in this place. I'm not even supposed to be in this relationship. I'm not even supposed to feel like this. That's what the word of God does. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a lamp to the current place that we're at. But it doesn't leave us there, does it? It's also a light to the path that leads us out of that place or to a place that God wants us to be. That's a beautiful thing. That this is what we all want, don't we? Aren't we all asking, God, where do you want me to be? I ask it almost every day. I bend God's ear on that one. Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to be doing? It's his word that's going to show me. And if truly, if we keep asking that without going to the word, we're almost saying to God, I don't believe what you say. Because the word says of itself that it's going to give me direction. So this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. Not only is it a light, but didn't Jesus say he was the light of the world and to let our light shine into the world? The light of God's word should not only be lighting on us, it should be lighting out of us. And I don't know if I want to read the whole thing, but a devotion that we shared on Tuesday morning, a couple guys get together for breakfast. And this was this devotion was called Give Me a Break. It says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Bible describes God as shining his light into our hearts so that it can shine out from us into the lives of others. And then 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God that is," excuse me, "the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." The Bible also describes our bodies as earthen vessels or jars of clay that contain the treasure of God's light. And the devotion goes on to say, maybe we question the fact that if we're these earthen vessels, how does the light shine through? How does the light get through? How does the light get out of us? And the devotion goes on, and it was so inspiring to me that it so impacted me that the only way the light can shine through the pot is if the pot's broken. If the pot is under pressure, if it's cracked, if there's a hole in it, that's the only way God's light's going to shine through. And we talked about it on Tuesday morning that in order for God's light to shine through us, we got to have difficulties in our lives. We got to have struggles in our lives because only then can we see God's strength as he carries us through. Though we may be cracked, we're not destroyed. We still have God, and people can look at our lives and say, they're going through something very difficult, very stressful, but man, look at God shining through them. Look at the Lord just shining through him. I just thought that was so absolutely amazing. And as I was studying this, realizing that God's word is a light to us, but it's a light through us. So I want to encourage us tonight. If you're going through something that's very stressful, don't look at it as something that's discouraging or depressing. Look at it as an opportunity for God to show himself through you, through that crack, through that struggle, through that difficulty. I'm thankful now for all the things that I've gone through in my life that God carried me through. It's a great testimony. Do I want to go back there and do it again? No. But I'm also not dumb enough to know that there's not more of that coming. There's not more of stress. There's not more difficulties that are going to come into my life. But now I'm having a different perspective on those because I'm like, God, you're going to do it. See, it's so much easier for me to let God crack you and show himself through you. But I'm not the only one in the room that says that, is it? None of us want to be cracked. None of us want to go through a difficult time. But isn't it great when you do and you get through it and you go, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. Look how he changed my circumstances. Look how he strengthened me. You can't get stronger, right, without going under that type of pressure. It just can't happen. And you know, most of us know these things. Most of us will agree that in order to know the Word of God, we have to study the Word of God. And when we study the Word of God, we get an amazing amount of benefit from that Word. But here's the problem. If you know that being in the Word of God is a good place to be, why is it you're not in it as much as you should be? Why is it you don't read the Word as often as you should? And this isn't to say, hey, let's all compare our notes and see who's reading more. No, that's not it. Because you can really read the Word every single day of the week, but not let it do a work in your heart. In order to let the Word work through you and do the things that it just promised us as we look through that, to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, to bring strength, to guide us, we've got to let it speak to us. So though we know these things, we're not doing these things. And why is that? Why is that? If we go back to Exodus, we're going to find one reason. Once again, Exodus verse 30, or excuse me, chapter 30, verse 17, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall make a laver of bronze. The word bronze speaks typically of a metal of judgment. Okay? Judgment. The word judges us so specifically that although we know the Word to be true and to be right and to be good, when we look into the Word of God, what happens? It judges us, right? Why? Because we're not really doing everything that Word of God... Anybody doing everything the Word of God tells them to do tonight? Anybody? No. So when we look into the Word, even though we know it's right and we know it's true, it still brings a sense of fallen way short. The Word of God exposes our flaws and our faults. So sometimes we get to that too. I know if I read that, I'm going to really feel bad about myself. Because that the laver's made of bronze. There's that judgment. So the Word of God brings that judgment. The Word is so convicting that some of us will simply stay out of the Word. And I'm not here to toot my horn in any way, but I have actually heard people say to me, Pastor Rob, if you don't stop teaching convicting sermons, I'm going to have to leave the church. And I'm like, you better leave now. Because you have to teach convicting sermons, otherwise we're just, oh, everybody's doing good. The Word should convict us. And if we would get to the place where we would look forward, I don't know how, we look forward to the Word convicting us, because we know that when we're convicted, know that, well, we can work on it, and know when we're convicted, now we can have God help us work on it, we can become better. And then when we get to that, we're, I used to struggle with that, but now I don't anymore. Isn't that great? It's great to know that. It's great to know there's some things that God has helped us work through, isn't it? It's not so good to know that we still got a lot more to do. And that's the way it is. But listen, we need to also be careful because the Word does judge. But have you ever done this? Have you ever listened to a message? Have you ever read a scripture and thought, man, my husband needs to hear that? Wow, I can't wait to tell my boss what I just read. Sometimes we read the Word of God, not for ourselves, we read it for everybody else. That's dangerous, don't you think? It's dangerous because, I mean, it talks about certainly the plank in the eye. Don't bother with your friend's speck in their eye when you got a plank in your eye. If the Word of God is not convicting you first, don't even bother elbowing your spouse or taking it to your kids. No, no, no. We got to let the Word of God speak to us first until then, so then we can bring it to others. So we can have this blinder on by not letting the Word of God do the work in us. But is that all the Word of God does is judge us? No, no, no. Let's go back. The laver is made of bronze, but what's in it? Water. Water. And Aaron and his sons were to take that water and cleanse their hands and cleanse their feet, right? They were to wash their hands, indicating that the word of God was going to help them serve and help do and offer sacrifices and go into the tabernacle of meeting and meet with God. Their hands needed to be cleaned. Their feet, wherever they had walked, the dirtiness that we get in the world, the water was to cleanse their feet so that where they walked would be on holy ground. That's what the word of God is to do for us as well. Not only will it judge us, yes, but it will also refresh us, cleanse us from the things that we've gotten dirty from in the world. That's a beautiful thing. We see here that the addition of water brought this refreshing, renewing, and reinvigorating. Jesus said this, John 7, verses 37 and 38, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what? Living water." Living water. The word is supposed to get into us, clean us, rejuvenate us, refresh us, so that we can help others. And let that word flow out and cleanse others. Not necessarily judge others. No, no, no. To help cleanse others. That our lives are there to be gracious to one another. I do believe there's times in our lives that we need to be firm. We need to be speaking the truth, certainly in love. But sometimes we have to be firm with each other and not just always, coddling. Is that the word, coddling? Not always, sometimes we need to be firm, but we want to make sure that it's seasoned with grace. We need to be gracious to one another. Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, are you thirsty tonight? Are you thirsty for more of God's word? Are you thirsty for more of God in your life? What is it tonight you're thirsty for that you need God to do for you? Because Jesus is very clear, is any of you thirsty? Come to me. Jesus, the living word, he's saying, come to me. Come to the laver. Get into the water. Cleanse yourself. Be refreshed so that you can refresh others. It's so, so very important. But notice the dangers of not remaining in the word of God. Look at verse 20, and this is where we'll close. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, or else what? Lest they die. Verse 21, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. God was pretty serious, wasn't he? Pretty serious about this. Actually, if you'd put up the map there, Wendy. Because really, I have a picture of a laver, but it's anybody's guess. So that's where the bronze altar was, between the altar and the tabernacle, the place where they would meet. It was right in that place. It was right in the middle, between the two, the place of sacrifice, but also the place where they would meet with God. And God was very specific that they were to wash themselves beforehand lest they would die. And I think, if we think about it, staying out of the Word of God, don't you agree that in certain levels, spiritually, certain things will die in your life? By staying out of the water, by staying out of the Word, spiritually we become weak. Spiritually we become hard. Spiritually, we change. I don't know if it happens to you, but if you don't do your daily reading or if you don't stay consistently in the Word of God, doesn't your attitude change? Don't you get a little snippier? Don't you get a little aggravated, a little quicker? Right? It says something's dying. The spirit is dying. And I can't remember where it is, but it says fan the flame that's inside you. Fan that flame. Fan that fire. And it's like the only way to stoke the fire is to stay close to God. And by staying in his word. So you and I both will die spiritually if we don't stay in the word. The word of God brings life to those who read it, to those who hear it, but most importantly, to those who obey it. And that's why we got to stay in that place of staying in, dive into the pool of the laver. Be covered with the word of God. Cleanse your hands with it. Cleanse your feet with it. And let God do a work in and through you so that his light will shine through you.